Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're glad you're here today. As I look out in the crowd, I can tell it's travel ball season. And it's the first weekend of hunting season, so I know that as well. But we're glad you're here today. It's going to be a great Sunday. I think I'm really loving diving into the scriptures going through 1 Peter. I think God is teaching us so many things. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And today the message is going to be called, Called Out of Darkness, as we enter into this whole season of shadows and talking about life lessons from 1 Peter. It's some dark times, and things strangely happen when you're in the dark, in case you don't know this. I was just thinking as I was studying for this message that one time Sandra and I were staying in a hotel for a minister's retreat, and you know, you get in habits at night. And so I did what I always do. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I was up on the right side. So in the middle of the night, I get up, and all of a sudden, I'm going to the bathroom, and boom, I realize I'm not at home anymore because I ran right into a wall. Because it was pitch black, and you can't see anything. And I think that's one of the things we kind of run into. When you're in the darkness, you get kind of used to it after a while, and it becomes a familiarity all of a sudden until something happens, and you run into a brick wall. And it's not very pleasant. We have another thing here at the church, if you may have been a victim of. If you've been in our bathrooms recently, you know that they instantly go on and they instantly go off, the lights. And so we've had a few people tell us that the lights don't last long enough. And so I told him, I said, well, just throw a piece, roll of toilet paper over the top. And they said, I did. It did not work. But for whatever the reason, darkness is not our friend. And it's one of those things that God has called us out of. We've been called to come out of darkness. We have been called to stay in the darkness. And I remember one of the times, I don't get a lot of anxiety. I don't really have a lot of fears of tight spaces or darkness. But I remember Sandra and I were hiking one time, and she was trying to hit all these falls. And one time we were going through this cave, and we crawled on our belly to get through to see these waterfalls. Well, I did. Sandra is scared of closed in spaces. And so she did not go, but me and the kids did. And so I was fine with that because I was familiar with that. I'd gone in there several times, but somebody said, hey, there's a quicker way. You just go around the side. And so I said, okay. He said, you can walk. You don't have to crawl. So I started going through this little side section, and all of a sudden it feels like it's taking longer and it's getting smaller and smaller. And I think, what if I get stuck here? And I feel a little panic, and I feel a little panic, and I'm getting a little, my heart's beating a little faster, I'm feeling a little anxiety, and all of a sudden I see a little crack of light, and I think, praise God, because someone's about to figure out how to carry me out of this wall, you know? And I think there's just always these times in dark seasons. These are natural seasons where we're in the dark, but there's some spiritual seasons where you're going through spiritual dark times, and all of a sudden it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way out. There's no way to get past the moment, and you are literally thinking, God, is there any end in sight? Can I see the light? If I can just see the light at the end of the tunnel, I'll be okay. But if I don't see a light soon, the panic is going to overtake me. The fear is going to grip me, and I'm not going to be able to make it. And I believe that we've not only been called out of the darkness, but we're to be a light in a very, very, very dark world. And in this season when this was written, we talked a little bit about this last week. This was written to a church that was written during the time where Nero was burning and crucifying and lighting on fire Christians. And just being a believer, just being a follower of Christ could literally mean death and torture. In some of the most horrid events. Caleb referred to the scripture earlier in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, as I have told you all of this, that you will be at peace here, this place on earth. You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So in the middle of this darkness, he said, you're going to have trouble. So when we go through trials and we go through problems and we are living in dark times and it seems like there's no way out financially, that seems like there's no way out physically, you're in sickness, you're going through this, there's no way out emotionally, you're in bondage. It seems like there's this cloud that illuminates of depression around your life, and it seems like everywhere you turn, you just can't get out of the fog. No matter what stage you're in, this is not uncommon. He said you're going to have problems. There's going to be darkness, trials, troubles. They're going to come your way. And so we've been called. This word call, Peter kind of refers to all the way through the book of Peter. Through first and second, you're calling, you're called, the call. And so a calling embodies and it emboldens, it encourages, and it empowers you. When you've been called to do something, you feel like all of a sudden I'm needed. All of a sudden, you feel like there's something you can do. I remember in middle school, I was just this, I don't know, I was more interested in girls than school and anything else. I know I'm different than all the other guys in middle school, but that was my life. And I remember, for whatever reason, because you know I'm so shy, they asked me to be, for this career day, to be the master of ceremonies. And I would show all the guest speakers where to go, and I would be able to just kind of lead and do all this stuff. And I had the script, and I felt important because all of a sudden I had got this title and been called to be the master of ceremonies. I was the real MC, you know? And yeah, for all my 80s references, I appreciate that, you know? We had a bunch back then. And so I remember I wore my suit and I wore my tie and I showed people around, but there's something that empowered me to do so. And we as a people of God have been called and called out from among them. We've been empowered and emboldened by the calling that he's placed on our life. Three types of calling. There's an eternal calling, and I didn't initially come up with these three, but I stole them from somebody. That's okay. the eternal call to Christ is one calling that they talk about. It's basically, we've all been called to Christ as believers. We've been called to follow after Christ. Another one's a temporary call to an assignment. We've been, sometimes you've been called on an assignment. I've been called to pastor, and there's this short term. People have been called on an assignment to be missionaries, and maybe you've been called to an assignment on your job, but there's a temporary assignment. But then there's a daily assignment, and that's kind of why I want to talk about today, and that is that we've been called to a godly standard. We've been called to walk with a godly standard. And in this world, it seems like the godly standard is watered down, diluted, and it has been twisted and muddied, and it's hard to see clear what God's standards are in this world. So he's called us, and he's called us out among them. And so what am I called to do? First of all, who has God called me to be? And let me just say this. I've got this written down because I didn't want to forget it. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And you'll know who you are when you realize whose you are. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My ability, my fortitude, my calling comes from him. So whatever he's called me to do, I can accomplish. When I became the associate pastor here at this church at Faith Assembly with Pastor Thrasher, I did not have authority of my own. I have what you call delegated authority, which means my authority comes from Pastor Thrasher. Whatever he told me I could do, whatever authority he gave me over, that's what I had. When he told me I was over the staff and I would run the day-to-day operations, that was a delegated authority because technically we all worked for him, right? So it was a delegated authority. But the minute he says, you're over this and you're responsible for this, it's a delegated authority. Let me tell you, you have been given a delegated authority from God. That if you can just speak to the darkness, you can speak to the enemy, you can command him to go. In the name of Jesus, there's authority. You have a delegated authority as believers to stand up on the word of God and on his standards and look at that old devil in his face and say, not today, Satan. You have the ability to, the Bible says, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We have the ability in the middle of this dark world to be embodied and with our calling, and we have had the authority that's been given us from Christ. So Peter's writing this, and during this time, there's a lot of different statements being made about the believers at that time. We know they were persecuted because of of Nero and other things that were going on during that time frame in Rome. But that's not the only thing. They were also misunderstood. They were thought to be superstitious. They were incestuous, and they were thought to be cannibals. And so basically they were thought to be like these idea that they were miracle magicians, and they would just, things would just happen. So they were superstitious in the fact that as they would, they believed that they could just lay hands on the sick. They believed that, that leprosy would just go. They believed that demons spirits would come out, and this was so foreign. You know, it's hard to understand, because even in our nature, in 2017, we have sometimes a hard time believing in the miracles that God does. Sometimes people get healed, and we're like, oh, yeah, that's great, and we don't know that we always stand up on and believe that they were healed. We kind of attribute it to other things, but let me tell you, we need to realize that there is a real miracle-working God. But in that day and time, just like in this day and time, they thought they were just superstitious, and they just thought all this stuff, they didn't really understand it. They thought they were incestuous in the fact that they would have these big love meetings and agape meetings, and they would just have these big love feasts, and they'd invite everybody over. And who did you invite to it? You would invite your brothers and your sisters. And so they thought it was just kind of, oh, you're inviting your brother and your sister. Oh, that's great. That's a little weird. And but they didn't realize they were calling one another brothers and sisters. And so there was a misunderstanding. And then they thought they were cannibals. From the famous line of Jesus, it says, take and eat my body and drink of my blood. And so they thought they were a little, you know, different. And so they couldn't really understand them. So there was misunderstanding. And so we dive into today's scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it starts out like this. It says, but you are not like that. Like what? Well, if you back up just one verse, it actually says, midway through verse 8, it says, they will stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. Verse 9, but you are not like that. You are not going to face the fate that was planned out for them. You are not going to have to face the problems of their judgment, rather, that comes from them, because for you, it's not going to be like that. Why? Because you are a chosen people. You have been chosen by God. You are chosen. And we know that this is moving beyond. Of course, the Jewish nation was a chosen people, but now that chosen generation has been grafted over, and we've been grafted in as Gentiles because we follow after Christ, and we are a chosen people, and you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. So because of that, you have been chosen, you have been called by God. That ought to empower you, because you, with you, it's not going to be like it is for them. For you, it's not like that, because you are chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, and you are a holy nation. So here's the deal. We ought to act like it. There ought to be something in our characteristics and our attitude towards people that when everybody else goes negative, we don't go negative. Why? Because we are carrying the authority and representation of our family, a name which comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, I expect my kids to act a certain way. I know, you do too, right? I expect our staff to act a certain way. I expect them to hold their tongues even when they've been chewed out by someone undeservingly. I know y'all think that never happens. I know. We would like to believe it never happens, but sometimes things happen. But I want them to respond. Well, because why? They are a representation of this church. They are a representation of who I am. But better than that, they are a representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we need to act like godly people. But how is it any different for them than it is for us as the family of God? We are a chosen people, so we ought to act like we're chosen. We are a royal priesthood, so we ought to act like we have the royalty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are a holy nation. We ought to act like we're holy people. Then it says, as a result of that, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are not what you were. You are a new creation. You are a new creature with a new feature. You've been redeemed and set free. You've been bought with a price. You are different. You have been called out. And so you need to step out of darkness, because when we were born into sin. and sinful natures are in us all. You don't believe it? Go into the nursery. Some kid today is probably going to bite another kid. And they don't even have to steal their toy for that to happen. They just might be hungry. I know. And their parents are saying, well, you said eat of my body, drink of my blood. They're going for it. But no, there's going to be something. Why? Because in their human nature is sinful. Our human nature is to lash out. Our human nature is when somebody cuts us off to give them a California hello. Tell them they're number one. You know, our human nature is to all of a sudden get all this anger and build up inside of us and go off on someone when they've done us wrong. When someone does my wife wrong, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit does not come upon me at that moment. He has to work on me. Because you can come after me, but don't you talk about my wife or my kids. You know? Okay, some of us are human. The rest of us, y'all are holy. Hallelujah. Most people today don't think that we're supernatural, though. They don't think we're incestuous, and they don't think that we're cannibalistic. You know what they think we are? They think we're self-righteous, judgmental, and we're intolerant bigots. That's what they think we are. Because why? Because we have a standard that's been written before us that we follow. And we believe what the Word of God says, and we believe what sin, what the Bible calls this sin, is sin. And just because it's morally acceptable now does not make it right for us. Just because what's morally acceptable, because morals change. The idea of someone walking across in a full nightgown on TV 30 years ago would have been unheard of. People would have shut their cable off. Now they walk in with barely anything on, and we tolerate it like it's nothing because morality changes over time. If you remember in I Love Lucy, Ricky and Lucy couldn't even stay in the same bed. They had to have different beds in the same room because it was just too taboo. And now morality changes over time. Words that you would have never heard from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock on a TV, on a basic cable show, or on antennas, you hear stuff that you would never even want your kids to say. Why? Because morality changes, but God's standard never changes. So when we have to raise up that godly standard, you have to realize you've been called out of darkness. We have to be the light. When people see that we are living differently, even when they are not, it should cause something within them to say there's something different about them. I don't know what it is, but I want the joy that they have. They don't get mad like we get mad. They don't get upset. They don't cuss like we cuss. They don't tolerate the same things that we tolerate. There's something different that ought to make people look at us and think, I don't know what it is, but there's something to it. And the problem is that when you come to these ideas of us being intolerant bigots and hateful and judgmental, some of us have earned that title. Let me just say this. If you are suffering because you're acting like a jerk, you deserve what you get. Don't quote me. Yeah, go ahead and quote me on that. I don't care. Brian Herring says, if you're suffering because you act like a jerk, you do. You reap what you sow, you know? The law of sowing and reaping, you know, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you treat people ugly, you're going to reap that. The world calls it karma, but the Bible calls it sowing and reaping. So Peter's writing to a suffering and despised Christian people group. And Christ is calling you and I to raise a standard through all this. In verse 10, he dives in and he says, once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires and wage war against your very souls. Listen, just because you're here now, you're not of this world. Just because you're temporary residents, listen, you need to be on guard and keep away from those things that wage war against your very soul. Because every time you leave this place, and sometimes in this place, there are things waging war and that are after your very soul. Let me just say it from everybody that from 70 to 7, there is a war for your very soul. Even in this midst right now, in the middle of maybe you're going through a very dark time, a very hard time, and you're thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. All of a sudden, you're being distracted. Why? Because you got a notification while you were looking at your Bible lab, while I was preaching, and all of a sudden, you thought you'd click it to see what it was. It takes you to Facebook, and you wonder what they're doing, and you're now in the Facebook trap hole. And all of a sudden, I'm saying amen, and you're like, oh, it's over? Because why? Because you fell into a hole because something's always warring to take your soul. And so it's distracting you. It's delaying you. It's causing you not to focus. It's causing you to go through all these rabbit holes. Let me say it in a way that younger people can do it. You get a notification, so you check your Snapchat. And so all of a sudden you're in your Snapchat, and one friend posts another thing. You think, well, that's kind of cool. So you take another picture of yourself so you can send them a message. And all of a sudden you're messaging all through service. And at the very end of service, you realize you didn't hear anything. You don't know what the message is about because you've been Snapchatting all through service. Okay, good. Got everybody. And then for you middle the road folk, there's Instagram. So whatever it is, there's a hole, and we fall into it. And all of a sudden, there's this war waged, and advertisements hitting before us, and there's people saying it's not that bad. Oh, you're just, and politicians saying that what you believe is just ignorant and bigotry. And so they go through these things, and there's this constant war at our soul. But the standards that has been placed before us have never changed. And his promises have never changed. They're still yes and amen, and we can trust them. But we have been called to live better, to think better, to act better. We have not been called to be closed-minded. And what good is it to be called out of darkness if you only go by yourself? We're to bring people out with us. It's our job. We need to be reaching into the community and bringing people out with us. Verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors because they're watching. Had this lady, I'll stop right there just for a minute. I had this lady who lived across the street from me, and now we're living kind of out in the country, so it's a little nice. But I'm not saying you should have watched Bewitched growing up, but just forgive me. So I watched Bewitched growing up, and there was this lady, and y'all know who she is, Gladys Kravitz, and she always lived across the street. And she'd go, Anna, Anna, did you see what's going on? I felt like that lady lived across from me for the last 7 years. And she was nice, but she was always, listen, she knew what was going on in the block. Your neighbors are watching you. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you act. They're watching what you say. And they're looking and they're pointing and saying, did you see? Anna! They're looking and they're watching everything you're doing. I mean, they're seeing what you're doing. And they're saying, look, 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 look. And how you behave, whether you act right or whether you act wrongly, they're watching. So be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Nobody's going to believe what they say. When you live so honorable that when they look at you and they make accusations and they accuse you of things you didn't do, and let me tell you, it's going to happen. You in the world, you live among people, unless you're a hermit, I always just go straight from your house to here, people are probably going to accuse you. They're probably going to say you did things that you didn't do. And when it happens, how you act, how you respond, Peter is saying here, he said, I'm not going to try to convince them to believe like I believe. Instead, I'm going to show them what we believe by how I behave. There is a difference. We want to keep having a great theological debate with people who don't believe while acting a fool. And the truth is, we don't need to have a big, we need to show them how to live by how we act, how we walk, how we live in our faith, how we interact with people, and how we interact with people who even do us dirty. It's all right, don't amen. Maybe you're the person doing somebody dirty. I don't know. I don't care. Listen, if you amen me better, I'll finish up faster. No. Thank you, Sandra. He says this, I'm not going to tell you about my faith first. Instead, I'm going to live my faith out, and then you'll see it. And when you see me live out my faith, then you'll know. That's what we've got to do. We've got to learn to live out our faith on a day-to-day basis so that people will know what we believe by the way we behave. We should lead the way in how we act. We should lead. Listen, our church should lead the way in generosity. We've talked a lot about giving this year, and you guys have done a tremendous job. You have given, and our church is taking care of people in benevolence. We've helped serve our community. We've helped serve organizations in our community, and we're going to do more moving into 2018. But let me tell you, you guys have done that, and we ought to lead the way. Because when we lead in generosity, people are going to see that there's something different in what's going on. We should be known for what we're for way more than we should be known for what we're against. We need to be more than spiritual consumers, and we need to be out there delivering what Christ is all about. There's more to living out your faith than just coming and sitting and consuming. We've got to be doers. It's more than being hearers. It's being doers. It's being out there. And as we move, and you guys, and I say this as an encouraging word because I want you to understand this. We have some of the best people in the world that when we say, hey, we're going to feed the police and firemen and the paramedics on 9/11, we had people show up out of the woodworks and we served and it was wonderful and we're going to do more moving forward. We have wonderful people, but we can't stop with just event. It needs to be a daily living every day we move. We need to be constantly showing and living out our faith in how we act and what we do. Verse 13. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king or head of state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Verse 15, if it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people. I underlined in my Bible, honor your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people. I just underline that. You can highlight it. You can circle it. Because when you live in such a way, when people say the most ignorant things about you, nobody's going to believe it. Those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. When we have been called to be different, which means, listen, just because we're living in a dark world doesn't mean we have to act like the dark world around us. And it's tempting because there are people, and we, you know, you hear people say it, and people say, oh, there's just, I don't want to go to church, a bunch of hypocrites at church. And then, of course, we like to say, I'd rather go to church with a bunch of hypocrites than go to hell with all of them. And we go back to this back and forth. Nothing has any, you know, real foundation to it. But I don't think that's what we should say. I don't think that's the way we should act. I think we need to realize this. Some people are coming in here, and it's not that they're hypocrites. It's that they're struggling with their faith, and they're working on their faith, and it's a process, and they're going through the motion, and you can't just say because somebody's stumbling that they're a hypocrite. Sometimes you have to realize they're just working through the process. They're growing in their faith. Now, there are hypocrites in the world. There are people who proclaim to be one thing that are absolutely not what they're proclaiming to be. That's a hypocrite. But there are people who are struggling in their faith, and they're not hypocrites. They're just people working through their faith, and we need to encourage them and lift them up and not browbeat them. We don't need we need to be there for one another. We need to be for people, whether you've been saved for 70 years or whether you've been saved for 7 years or whether you've been saved for 7 minutes, we need to be able to walk people through their faith on a day-to-day basis and help them live it out. And that's why we need to push discipleship programs. That's why we need people to be discipled. There's more to church than just Sunday morning service. And due to time, I'm going to go ahead and skip up to verse 21. You can read back over the last few verses. It says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. That's fun. Thanks, Pastor Brian. That's wonderful. You've been called to do good, even if it means suffering. Put a pin. We'll cover the rest of the verse in a minute. Because of your godly standard, you might not get the promotion you were hoping for. Because you won't go out and drink, and you won't go to the club when you're out on a business trip like some of the other ones. You might miss out. You might get made fun of. You might miss a few things. You might be left out. You may not get invited to the event. Why? Because of your godly standard. And that's okay. Students, listen, you may not get to be a part of everything because of your godly standard. That when they look at you, they say, oh, they're one of them Bible thumpers. I don't know. Whatever they're going to call you. They probably got more clever names, but I can't say them in church. But whatever it is, raise a standard. Live in such a way. Because let me tell you about my life. I lived and I was raised in church, but I was one. Listen, sometimes when you're raised in church, you're the biggest, whatever person in the world, because you kind of get saved every weekend because you're kind of going back and forth. And so what I really do is whenever I got into my junior year, I felt like I really gave my heart to God. I stopped playing around, stopped doing the things I shouldn't have done. I started living like I really should. I invested, got involved with our Bible club, and all of a sudden people noticed a change. And I had more of a witness my senior year than I did any other time because all of a sudden something changed in my actions. I lived out the standard that I said I'd been living out all along. And people took notice. People will notice when you live out a godly standard. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He's our example. Christ is the best example that anyone could ask for. He is the chief example. He is our priest. He is the one we should follow. If he suffered and how he responded to those who suffered, when he's hanging on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing. If he's our example, how much more should we do? Because how did he treat us? Here's what he did. When we are weak, he is gentle. When we didn't understand, he was patient. When we rejected him, he was loving. When we sinned, he was forgiven. He was everything that we were not. And he's our example. Verse 22 says, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He's our example. He didn't insult, he didn't threaten, he didn't take revenge. Instead, he left it in the hands of God. We struggle with this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. He did all of this. He carried all of this so that we don't have to live in sin and that we can be delivered. And not only that, he took an extra step, and it's by his stripes you're healed. Verse 25, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Peter continues, and what he says is even crazier than anything you could ever imagine or even think of. What he says is so astounding, it's so absurd that you just think, how could this even be normal? Because what is normal? Normal is you curse those who curse you. Normal is you hate those who hate you. Normal is you get revenge on those who've taken advantage of you and those family members who take advantage of you. Normal is it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. That's normal. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says the craziest thing, because he says it this way. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. There must be a typo. Because what I was thinking of when somebody did me ugly, when someone did me dirty, when someone said things about me weren't true, I didn't think, how can I bless them today? I thought, God, are you going to deal with this or am I going to deal with this? There's some holy people in here. I'm glad you're holy. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. So when you think, how can I bless other people? He turns around and he blesses you and he blesses me. Because how we treat other people, the same measure, is how God deals with us. You are called to go an extra mile. You are called to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. That's what he's called you to do. Why? Because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and you are a holy nation, a people who belong to God. We've been called to do good. We've been called to encourage those who need encouragement. We have called to take up for those who have been bullied. We have been called to forgive those family members who may have betrayed you. We have been called to help our neighbors when they can't even mow their own yard. We've been called to love those who are left out and no one else loved. And we've been called to help with groceries for those who can't pay for it themselves. We've been called to love. We've been called to serve. We've been called to bless. We've been called out of darkness. And we need to act like light. That's what we've been called to do.